It's Bucky and Aaron.
For the we'll talk about The Shining. It was just weird.
Rom.
Once again, I didn't finish, so I don't know if I can.
You didn't see the end of it?
I don't.
How do you not get to the end?
Because I wanted to distract myself because I'm afraid when the kids run around in that stupid
have that discussion
big
if you didn't
wheel.
Get to the end.
The big wheel is enough.
Finished.
Why doesn't kill? Why didn't somebody pop that kid on the big wheel? Talking to his finger all the time. I mean, come on, who's his little buddy? Hey, don't go in that room. Don't go in that room. I'm like, what the hell?
Hey, can I just tell you how that movie ended since you're never going to watch the end of it?
How did it end? There was a fire or an explosion?
The movie's 40 years old, so it's not a spoiler alert of any kind. Well, no, the little kid, not on his big wheel, but he ran out because, you know, dad starts chasing him because he's losing his marbles.
With an axe, right?
Yeah.
Or butcher knife or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Chasing him, you know that maze that was outside, the bushes
yeah,
maze?
Yeah.
So, and it was middle of winter, so he chased him into the maze, and the kid had been in that maze a bunch, so he knew how to get in and out of it. So he went in and then got back out, and then the Jack Nicholson character got lost in there and got stuck and froze.
He froze up in that thing?
Yeah, man.
What happened to Scat Man-Ass Crothers in that thing?
He came back in the summer.
Just like normal?
I think he tried to come help, but dude lost his mind. I haven't seen the movie in a long time, so people will...
Scatman died, because generally black actors die in movies like that.
I don't believe he died, did he?
Oh.
It's been a long time since I watched that film. But yeah, he duped him into the maze, and then he could get out of the maze. And
what happened to the little girls? Did they come back again? The two little girls in blue?
Those were in his imagination.
They were.
They really weren't there.
Okay, that's cool.
The Shining.
The music's too much for me.
And Bucky didn't even finish it. It's unbelievable. So I had to tell him.
Now I never have to finish.
Yeah, that's how it ends.
Good with me. I'm good. I don't have to see that thing again.
It's going to be 97 degrees and pretty dang warm today, but not as hot as in Phoenix. I was reading this story before we get to our headlines. It is so damn hot in Phoenix, Arizona. It's going to be 122 degrees today. American Airlines has canceled 20 flights out of Sky Harbor International Airport because they say it's dangerous to try to take off and land, and certainly take off when it's that hot. When it gets north of 120.
Is that global warming thing?
It's just the desert.
Oh, okay. It just gets hot in the desert.
You know, they built that in the desert.
Yeah, okay.
That whole
fake
city.
Fake news, man. Global warming.
Fake news.
I don't know. I mean, it gets hot in the desert, I would think.
If you talk to folks who have been in Phoenix a long time, this isn't the first time that it's been in the 120s in summer. So it is the desert.
Says he, Scatman, totally died.
Oh, he did?
Brothers always go down in movies. They don't get to stay
totally.
To the end. Unless you're Denzel. Denzel lasts
a long time. It's been
years,
it's been decades since I've seen that film. This says extreme heat affects planes' ability to take off hot air less dense than cold, obviously. So if you're taking off or going into Phoenix, you may want to go early because they can do flights in the morning. But once you get to the heat of the day, shutting it down.
No go for landings and takeoffs?
Takeoffs.
Oh.
This was 1990, they had 122-degree temperatures. They had to do the same thing. So at least you're not in Phoenix, which kind of seems like it's an oven.
I think we got low humidity coming here today.
I'll take that. I will take
I'll take yesterday. Yesterday was beauty.
Yesterday wasn't bad. Well, you got a three-hour nap. You missed most of the day.
Is that why it was so nice? You were in air conditioning all day.
Dude, how did I sleep for 3 hours? It was 4 o'clock. I went to bed at 1. I got up at 4 o'clock. How does that happen?
So you feel good right now.
I feel great.
Yeah, here we go.
Got back to poker at midnight. Everything's good.
Thanks to all the folks who reached out in the first hour that are up early and punching the clock.
They are up. Look at them.
It's a good thing to see. We appreciate them. Let's get to your headlines. Get you caught up on the show of the people. Ticket City Update Desk Headlines brought to you by UBO Business Services. How about some baseball? Plenty of it this time of year. Tough loss in Arlington last night for those Texas Rangers. Those dang Toronto Blue Jays just seem to find ways to beat Texas. First of four between the two AL rivals last night, and the Rangers rallied from 5-1 down early and took a 6-5 lead, held it into the ninth inning, but Toronto scored twice in the top half of the ninth and take down Texas 7-6. Kendrys Morales hit the go-ahead single right after a game-tying knock from Josh Donaldson. Matt Bush took the loss. Game two tonight, Francisco Liriano facing Nick Martinez. First place Houston, meanwhile, opened to swing out west with a 4-1 win in Oakland. George Springer hit his 20th home run. Jake Marisnik his ninth. That backed Brad Peacock and three Houston relievers in the victory. Rookie outfielder Derek Fisher hit the second home run of his career in the ninth inning, and then he was promptly optioned to AAA Fresno, where Josh Reddick came off the 7-day concussion DL. Round Rock Express lost to Memphis last night on Princess at the Park night at the Dell Diamond. It was quite a scene. 5-4 final, same two again tonight at 7:05. How about the news from college baseball, where Oklahoma announced yesterday that former Texas pitching coach and top assistant Skip Johnson has been named the team's head coach, the 10th head coach in Norman. Johnson served as Pete Hughes' pitching coach in 2016. Hughes was not retained earlier this month after four seasons. Skip Johnson takes over. He was the head coach in Navarro from 94 to 06, spent 10 years here in Austin coaching the pitchers and being Augie Garrido's right-hand man. 32 of his pitchers he coached here in Austin were drafted at one point. He'll now take over in Norman. Day three of the College World Series, top-ranked Oregon State routed LSU 13-1. How good is that team? They earn a spot in the Bracket 1 championship game on Friday. Florida State, meanwhile, eliminated Cal State Fullerton with a 6-4 win. Texas A&M and TCU, an elimination game this afternoon, 1 o'clock. Winner moves on through the loser's bracket. Loser goes home. TCU has ended A&M's season in each of the past two seasons in the Super Regional round. See if it happens again today. Interesting development in Cleveland in the NBA. 2 days away from the draft, Cavs reportedly in trade talks involving the likes of Jimmy Butler and Paul George, but Cavs GM David Griffin let go by team owner Dan Gilbert. Despite reaching the finals in each of his three seasons, as GM won an NBA title, two sides reached a mutual agreement to part ways when his contract expires at the end of the month. Malta reports suggest that LeBron James was surprised and, quote, disappointed by the decision, had a tweet last night that said, if no one appreciated you, Griff, I did, and hopefully all the people of Cleveland. Thanks for what you did for the team in 3 years. NBA draft will be Thursday night. And one day after Brooks Koepka won the U.S. Open, which was the second lowest TV-rated U.S. Open ever, three-time U.S. Open champ Tiger Woods posted to Twitter for the first time since his Memorial Day DUI arrest, released a short statement saying that he is receiving professional help to manage the medications he takes for back pain and a sleep disorder. Of course, Tiger's a three-time U.S. Open winner, 14-time major champion, hasn't played competitively since February. And that's the news from the Ticket City Update Desk.
You know, this is Scatman Crothers really took it. He took an axe to the gut.
That's right. Now I remember that. Because Jack Nicholson cut the phone line so no one could get
axed him in the stomach.
He just lost it. And then, yeah, he drove up there in the snow to try to help. And because remember, Jack Nicholson was the second, the caretaker before him, lost his marbles and killed his family.
Yeah, that's where the two girls in blue came from.
That's right. That's where
the wife.
Girls were. Right.
By the way, Scatman was with Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Remember he was the caretaker?
Yeah.
With the crazies there?
That's a great character actor right there, my friend.
He's no Jonathan Banks, but Scatman.
It's the best name in Hollywood, too. Scatman Crothers. When you hear it, you think it'd be wrong. It'd be some kind of joke.
I know.
Hey, this guy says, my brother flies to Phoenix tomorrow. We'll see how that goes.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's hot, man.
I love when people say it's dry heat. And I found out about that dry heat when I went to Vegas with you when we went to...
It'll melt your face off.
We went to, the Arena League?
Football Championship, July.
And somebody said, it's going to be really dry. It was the hottest thing I'd ever been. I'm like, dry? Well, it's dry in an oven, but if you stick your head in there, it's hot.
Yeah, well, sometimes Austin's like that. It's like a blast furnace. You open the door and... But I will say this for the desert. In Phoenix, the one thing that's different about Texas heat is that at night... It actually cools down. So, you know, when it gets to be 10 o'clock at night, you can be outside on your patio and enjoying it, and it's not still, you're not sweating like it is here because of all the humidity. When they say dry heat, you actually can enjoy the evenings and the nights a lot of times.
True.
More than you can.
But it's later in the night. Like you said 10. That's about it.
Well, yeah.
It's still hot as hell here at 9 o'clock.
The sun doesn't go down in the summer until 8:30, and then it's got to cool off a little bit.
Unless you head to Big Bend where it's all happening.
Big Magic Johnson.
I've been taking my little trip to Big Ben again.
Another one?
Of course I love Big Ben.
It's like three this summer.
I'm telling you, Big Ben is one of the great places.
It is. It's the sleeping gem.
It is a gem. It's right here in your face. And there's so many people. Every time I said, they said, you got to go to Big Ben. Now I said, have you gone? No. Like, why the hell does everybody say you got to go, but they never go to Big Ben? It's like being in a different world right here. Only, 5 hours away. I get there in 5 hours. You're not supposed to.
What do you do there, man? You just go camping and stuff?
Smoking bandit or something?
I hike, peyote. I mean, I hike. I travel around. I go to different places. I read.
Unplugs.
And you can really unplug at that place. And at night, it's cold there at night, dude.
5 hours?
Yeah, that's probably not right. I can get from here to Alpine. Maybe not Big Ben. I can get to Alpine, Texas in 5 hours. That doesn't seem right either, but I do.
Burt Reynolds or something.
Ask the officers along the way.
A combo, peyote and reading? That's your cocktail out there?
It works, man. Works for me. Sorry, I'm Tiger. My back hurts.
Before we get to our coaches,
my back.
Here's a text on our Andy Reid discussion that stemmed from our Pat Mahomes discussion, which stemmed from our David Campbell's Texas football conversation.
Yes.
You know how these things just develop. It says, Alex Smith is a much better player than he ever gets credit for. 7 offensive coordinators in 7 years, 4 head coaches. Then in 2011, had 9-0 start with a huge playoff win. Cap takes the credit for the Super Bowl appearance. Dude has been undervalued and taking the blame for crappy 49ers teams. Well, I think Alex Smith's a good player, but I said he's the white version of Donovan McNabb, and Donovan McNabb was a very good player. The one thing about Alex Smith is he doesn't turn the ball over and he's very safe. But to me, that conservative nature is exactly what Andy Reid covets, but it's also what prevents them from winning big games come playoff time.
Yes, because in the playoffs, you have to be, you got to take some chances.
You can't be Johnny Dink and Dunk and think you're going to beat the Patriots. You've got to be able to push the ball down the field. Now he's in his mid-30s. He was the first pick in the draft. That was the year the Texans should have taken Aaron Rodgers. Let's get started on that draft.
Charles Johnson. Or Travis.
Travis Johnson.
Yeah, that was 2005. And Texans had the 16th pick. Aaron Rodgers was on the board after the 49ers took Alex Smith.
Can't win a championship.
Falling through the draft.
Can't win a championship being Dink and Dunk. And please do not text us and say Tom Brady is Dink and Dunk. Please don't do that. That dude is not Dink and Dunk.
You ask the Falcons.
He will throw it all over the place.
He's pretty darn good. And the Seahawks in the Super Bowl before that, and he was in the second half shredding the Legion of Boom defense in a comeback. But, yeah, the Texans could have had Aaron Rodgers. Instead, they had Travis Johnson. That's Charlie Casserly's fault, too, by the way. That's not Rick Smith. That was the final draft of Charlie Casserly, who's now the NFL Network goober.
And I'm still awaiting whoever wants to make that trip with me to Vegas, the quickie, to get that Atlanta bet in and that Tom Herman bet. Because that's going on. It's just simple. I'm going to give you two.
So you want to?
Without my cousins, without even my cousins,
are you going to do two separate bets or one parlay or maybe both?
I like the both. I liked what you just said.
I like the both.
Yes.
Well, because it's 14-1, right, on the Falcons
winning the Super Bowl.
No, it was over 9.5 wins, right?
No, two separate bets.
Two separate bets. Ooh.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were more Super Bowl. Were you more 9.5 wins, or were you more?
No, I'm more 9.5 wins with the Atlanta Falcons, for sure.
All right, so Atlanta over 9.5, which is just an even bet, and then Super Bowl was 14-1.
14-1, that's 200. I go 200
on
that.
You like the Longhorns over 7.5 wins.
That's an easy 200. I mean, baby needs a new pair of shoes. I'm going for grandpa needs, the coach needs to get to the grandkids some new shoes. This is the real
deal.
All right,
so you should make 3 individual bets on those 3 things.
3 individuals.
And then parlay them together in one final hoorah.
Oh, you're talking about a $10,000 day if that happens.
Marfa, here we come.
I would say yes, E. I'm still – Tom Herman is winning 8 games.
You think so?
And that thing is moving too, BK. And if I don't get it soon, you know that's going to move to 8.
By the way,
8.5, right?
BK, I've done a lot of football seasons with the Buck. If he makes this bet – and things start to get tenuous, it's going to get rough around here.
Oh, no.
Oh, you mean on the air? No, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to do that. It ain't true. No, I'm not going to do that.
That ain't true!
How much did you end up putting any cousin money on Texas Tech last year?
That was your sweetheart.
No, I went to it, but I can't trust that
you
guy.
He
looks too good.
You didn't have put some money on it, confidence in Texas Tech last year.
No.
You really didn't.
No.
You thought you
Cliff Kingsbury, seriously? Smells good, looks good, stinks as a coach. No, I'm not going to do that.
Speaking of that, let's dive into the Coach's Corner.
Welcome to the Coach's Corner.
Oh, man. Coaches. Let's hear from Jeff Bannister last night. Rangers lose again to the Blue Jays. Of course, they eliminated them in the playoffs last year. Was it 3-0?
Yeah, sweep last year, and then
El Sweepo.
Remember they got the bad timing, where they had to pay it like at noon or something?
Yeah, they played at noon, back-to-back days. And we were actually up in Arlington
that weekend.
We were
there at that time.
That was Texas OU. And
thought we'd catch a game, and all of a sudden it was like...
It was over.
It was done.
It was over. And so here it is last night. The Blue Jays come in for the first of 4. Rangers rally back at 6-5. 2 in the ninth off of closer Matt Bush, and Jeff Bannister says, you know, it's not about those Blue Jays.
I don't think that we look at it as a what club it's against or anything like that. Anytime you lose a game like that, they're challenging. But however, again, I'll rewind and repeat about what I say about this team, where they're able to bounce back and move on.
All right, so there's Jeff Bannister, Rangers and Blue Jays again tonight, and then the Astros are in Oakland, where they won last night, got a win. I was watching George Springer last night. He hit another home run. He's got 20. I was starting to wonder if he may be in that home run derby come All-Star time down in Miami.
He should be.
I mean, he's got that swing. I'd hate to see it ruin his season, but he's having a great year. You know, the Astros are going to send 6-7 guys to that All-Star game when it's all said and done, and Springer, Correa, and Altuve will be three of them. Be interesting to see if maybe Springerdinger gets into that that home run jacking contest. But how about this? So according to this report, David Griffin, who's now out as the GM of the Cavaliers, Buck, was up until he was whacked trying to maneuver a Jimmy Butler trade to Cleveland. How good of a trade would that be for Cleveland? They got Jimmy Butler.
That would have been awesome.
Are you kidding me? And next thing you know, he's dumped by Dan Gilbert, and LeBron James was, quote, surprised and disappointed, according to reports.
Well, he was disappointed. He should have been, because late in the season, LeBron James was talking about how Griffin had done such a great job. That was his guy. I mean, he was really behind him. He wanted to have a guy that's going to stay there. So I think LeBron got surprised by that, too. I think he got the rug pulled out from under him, and that surprises me that LeBron would seem so surprised.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler seems to be the guy. Well, and that's not a good thing to get on the bad side of your superstar,
no.
Right? If that's what you're
not
doing.
Not that dude.
Especially one that he and David Griffin just brought a championship to Cleveland.
Right.
And, you know, we're back in the finals again this year. And I think Griffin would tell you, if we can pick up a guy like Jimmy Butler, you know, be our third guy, you know, maybe now we're right back with Golden State.
I would say yes. If they got Jimmy Butler, now you're talking about a physical guy who can
play defense,
and he can score.
Yeah.
Well, what was and that? He's got that kind of mentality. He wants to be a winner. He wants out of Chicago. That's not doing it for him.
Well, remember, he and Derrick Rose
really
couldn't share the same floor. Jimmy Butler's out of Houston, Texas, Tomball High School. Did you know that? Tomball High School
that.
Down in Houston. Went to Tyler Junior College and then Marquette. Well, let me tell you about this. I was reading some statistical analysis that Jimmy Butler, through his career to this point at 27 years old, 23. He's only 27, by the way, which is why a lot of people are trying to acquire him. His numbers are his statistical numbers, both offense and defense, compare favorably to the likes of Clyde Drexler, Ray Allen, Scottie Pippen. So yeah, why wouldn't you want to pick up a 27-year-old Jimmy Butler if you're Boston or Cleveland?
I mean, yeah, and see, the thing about it is, I think that's what Boston's on the slide trying to do. If they don't get the kid from Kansas, I think they're making a deal behind everybody's back to get Jimmy Butler somehow.
Guys, don't be shocked. Everyone thinks it's going to be Josh Jackson or Jason Tatum to the Celtics at three. Don't be shocked if it's Jonathan Isaac, the 7-foot power forward out of Florida State, because Boston is pushing hard for Gordon Hayward, who they think could fill that role as the three, kind of the wing player right there. If you see that happen, then it's a good sign Hayward could be headed to Boston this summer, too.
Big man that can score?
Yeah, the Utah guy.
Sure.
Yeah. White boy.
Well, Boston, yeah, they'll love that.
Of course they will.
Oh, did I say that?
You said that.
But
before I said it.
So, listen, why wouldn't Danny Ainge swing that Jimmy Butler deal?
That's the one I think it's about. That's the one I'm banking on right now.
Because you don't have to give anything up, because Hayward's a free agent.
And who's this kid out of Florida State? I saw him play. Florida State, remember, was this? They were my trendy pick come March Madness time.
Big time athlete,
big athletic center who could defend the rim. But boy, if you could land him and Jimmy Butler, well, they want Gordon Hayward, I guess. They need a shooter. They do. They need someone who can knock down, you know, perimeter shots and be a nice wing like that. Interesting. Yeah, well, look, Josh Jackson's an unproven commodity. Gordon Haywood's an all-star, so he's a proven commodity playing the similar position. If you could add the big center who brings you some defense and some physicality down low. All right, I like that. Hey, Matt wants to weigh in on your Vegas trip, Buck. What's going on, Matt?
Matt.
Bucky, I'm headed to Vegas this weekend, and you tell me what you want to place. I'll spot you, and if we win, we go play golf.
Okay, would you get BK your number? Because that thing is on.
But his eyes just got to be as big as like saucers.
Yeah, that's on right there.
Sure.
I banked some of that in preparation for Tom Herman and what he's going to do in the Big 12 early. And I got I'm believing that the Atlanta Falcons, that was not a hoax last year, that they're going to be right back in this thing at 9.5. So we'll get his number. And then at the end, as the season rolls on, y'all will be looking at me going, I should have been right on the Bucks' coattails on this one. You'll be on this one, too, I could tell.
Easter Bucky.
Yeah, you're thinking about this one right now.
Hey, by the way, thanks to two people who sent me the exact same link This says, count Astros George Springer out for the home run derby. I'm just not a fan of it. So,
well, good for him.
Go. That answers it for me. Springer Dinger won't be. And I seem to make sense. He's got 20 bombs. He's up there with Aaron Judge for the lead in the American
gonna
League.
Going to wreck his swing in one night?
Well, he swings for the fences every time. I mean, the torque that guy puts on his swing. You know, think about George Springer. He grew up not playing baseball. He was a martial arts guy and yoga. His parents were kind of a different group. But,
well, that's why he thinks those collisions in center field are okay
well,
for him.
He's so athletic.
Runs into the fence.
George Springer's a guy you watch him play. He can play football. I mean, that guy
is
big, and he's fast, and he can run. I mean, he's just jump, athletic. And when you see him swing, you see him really turn on one. I mean, the torque on that swing, I mean, he's a heck of a player. And he kind of takes a backseat to Correa and Altuve at this point as far as star status. Remember, Springer was the first one. He was the first-round draft pick. He was the 11th pick out of UConn. Cornerstone type player, and then Correa came behind him, and Altuve was picked up as a free agent, international free agent. But that answered my question. George Springer won't be hitting Springer dingers.
Good.
Doesn't like to have any fun. Come on, George.
Says Bucky, don't go out to Big Ben right now. 46-year-old woman just died there yesterday.
What?
Is that Balmoray? I went to Balmoray State Park, and I have been in that spring fed pool that's there.
Go out to Balmoray State Park,
it's
hit
freezing.
Up the spring-fed
water's
pool
cold.
Better than Barton. All right, there you go. I like that.
That's your hole that you've been looking for, right?
Your swimming hole, Balmoray.
I'm going to go 5 hours to dive into the pool and jump out? No.
10 hours round trip.
Yep.
All right, so there you go. Thanks for that tip on George Springer. You know, that actually saves us having to listen to Chris Berman say Springer Dinger 1,000 times.
Thank you.
If he had participated. Is it still Chris Berman doing that, or did they fire him too?
They're not going to bring you back for that, are they?
I can't keep count of who all they've let go of in Bristol. So
apparently they just won a bidding war with Fox to keep Jesse Palmer around. So ESPN's laying off Slayer, John Clayton, and keeping on
The Bachelor.
Yeah, The Bachelor, Jesse Palmer.
Hey, as long as they keep my girl Jessica Mendoza, we're good. She did a fine job.
Come on.
As long as they keep that 6 o'clock Sports Center, I'm there always.
Oh, Mike and Jamel.
Only time Bucky will get fired up about that is when they get rid of Poppy. Dan Levitard's pops.
They can't get rid of
that
show.
Guy.
That's the best. Them and Bomani. That's so cool.
Yeah, we'll be back. B&E on the horn. There's your coach's corner. Appreciate that. And here you go. You got a guy that's going to make your Vegas bet. He's going to be out there in the oven of Vegas. He's going to make that for you.
I got it. Here we go.
Here we go. Write down what you want. We'll get it to him. Hey, it's B&E on the horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Streaming it on the Horn app and on hornfm.com. Hot or not for the end of the hour. Plenty to do on a Tuesday.
There you go. There it is.
There's the winner.
Back.
Look at that.
Back. Good. We have a chance.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
All right, 74 days to the start of the Texas football season and the start of the college football season. Lots to do between now and then. And we have our Dave Campbell's Texas football magazines that our man Craig Way dropped off yesterday, and we'll be giving away 100 copies of that great magazine with Tom Herman on the cover. We'll start doing that here in the coming days and weeks. Be listening. All the shows online will allow you to win yours. Got 100 of them. So that's pretty good to get us all the way to the start of really at least the Big 12 media days, right, which is mid-July. And then beyond that, it'll be the B&E and the Horn Top 20 countdown. Plenty of college football to kick around. What do we make of this guy real quick, Buck? We have a very special guest on the Horn Hotline we're going to talk to here in a moment. I want to put this out there to the show, the people, audience, and we'll kick this around. But do you see the guy who's an ardent Green Bay Packers fan? Guy named Ryan Murphy. He fell in love with a girl named Mary Packer, right? And they got married, and he's taking on her name. They're now the Packers. He's taking on her name.
Dude taking on her name?
Yeah, because her name's Packer. He loves the Packers. They had a Green Bay Packers-themed wedding, all green and gold. And so now he has changed his name officially to Ryan Packer, and meet the Packer family.
I'm not going to say anything, but you know how my mind is working right about now.
I know exactly where you're coming.
You know exactly where I was going, don't you?
Is he even in love with this girl, or did he just marry
right,
her?
Right, that's my initial thought.
Is his middle name Fudge?
But see, in my mind it was there, but I just didn't want to go there. And I'm
well,
glad.
No, I mean,
instead,
I didn't have anything to do
there.
With like
you went there instead of
you know,
me.
Peanut butter fudge never hit my mind. What hit my mind was,
she's a beautiful
woman.
She's
very pretty. So it's not like he married some, you know.
No, he didn't marry. He married a beautiful lady.
But her name happens to be Packer. I'm sure that helps.
I would not change my name. No,
you wouldn't.
No.
All right.
There's not. There's.
He says we're the Packer family now.
If I were to marry somebody and they say the thing that you really have to do, I'd like for you to change your name to mine, I'd say, well, you're marrying the wrong dude, because that's not going to happen up in here.
Well, I don't think she said it to him. I think he wore a Green Bay Packers like full suit after their wedding.
She's okay. He's a nerd.
he's now a Packer.
And now he's a Packer. I got that now. No, she's okay. That dude is out to lunch with a Green Bay Packer suit on.
And they met at a karaoke bar in Madison, Wisconsin, singing Cheesehead songs.
God.
it's kind of nerdy.
Karaoke. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's not karaoke. I want to do
what
that.
Do you mean? Hold on.
It's not karaoke. It's karaoke. Okay? I just wanted you to know that. You're gonna get the right pronunciation.
Karaoke? Are you trying to change?
Well, you know,
forever in my life, it's been karaoke.
It's not.
I've been to many a karaoke bar.
For my Chinese friends out there, my Chinese friends and Asian friends out there, could you please tell the Americans that it's not karaoke. That's not the way we say that in Japan or China and places like that. Karaoke. Okay, can we get that?
Is that like their commercial we run, Dr. Orakaki?
Yes. All right, Lisa's waiting for
us. Let's go to the Bob Steak and Chop House hotline. We want to say congratulations to our first ever female winner of our B&E Major Championship Golf Contest.
Yeah.
Lisa Ladwig is with us, who, as we found out through her emails, has her own fish camp, loves golf, doesn't play. And as you tried to allege, her boyfriend or wife gave her, or boyfriend or husband gave her the picks of Brooks Koepka, Ricky Fowler, and Dustin Johnson for our contest, which she won. Or Jason Day, I should say. Lisa, how are you?
I'm great. I'm in good old Abilene, Texas this morning.
Abilene. Well, you are our winner and our first ever. We've been doing this 10 years easy, so that's four times a year for 10 years. We've never had a female winner. You are the winner of this prize pack. And congratulations.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't believe I won. I do submit my picks almost every time, and I've never won. So this time I just went with whoever was the cutest that needed to win. So.
Well, and Lisa, believe me, I'm very surprised that you won, too. There's numerous people out here that are very surprised. How did you do that? What was your boyfriend's name who picked that for you again?
Well, I do have a friend, and I just got back from Germany and Switzerland on a trip with my girlfriends, and he reminded me to get my picks in for my pick three, but he did not help me at all.
There you go.
I did it all on my own. I actually did a little research. I went online and just wanted to know who was kind of hot at the time and who really was playing really well and would do it good at the course. And Brooks Koepka, his name kept coming up, and I always thought he was really cute, so I picked him.
Oh, yeah, so you did it on he was cute. You probably do that when you go for recipes, like for quiche and stuff. Do you know how to make quiche, or do you just go online for your quiche? Yes.
No, it's like, you know, picking a team to win the Super Bowl, or, you know, you pick the one with the best team colors, right? So.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka is a tall, strapping lad. I saw him at the Dell match play, and that was a great pick because obviously that's the separator. You had
no kidding.
Yeah, and Ricky Fowler was a great pick too because he had made the cut in each of the previous two U.S. Opens after having that great year where he finished in the top 10 in all the majors. But Lisa's with us. She won our contest with those picks. And as we Bucky kind of chided you yesterday, you know, you like to fish, right? You've got a fish camp that you go to.
My family has a fish camp down in Seadrift, Texas, and it's a compound. It's a family compound. So we actually have more women in our family than we do men. So
that's a lot of toilet paper.
But we have three houses, and they're little fish houses. I mean, they're nothing, you know, extraordinary, but we go down there for family trips, and everybody goes fishing.
Nice.
And drinking and chewing tobacco and all that. The girls do all that stuff.
Oh, the girls don't chew tobacco.
Okay, good.
We drink, but we're not big drinkers either, but we do have fun. So.
You got to have fun.
Yes.
Yeah. So, we go fishing a lot. So I'm good at, you know, deep sea fishing and going out to the bay, but I haven't ever
Well, I'll just say this, Lisa. You should have a great time with Aaron and the Big Uglies when you guys go fishing.
You're going fishing, too.
Oh, Becky, you're going.
No, no.
Yes, you are.
No, I do things and say
brothers.
Things. Went on a fishing trip and
well,
a golf course.
We've got, well, you're, that'll be fine. She'll be fine. She got brother. Your brother played ball for Gus, you said in an email.
He did. He did. And for Augie. So I guess it, first year he played for Gus, and then Gus retired and Augie took over. So he played for 2 years for the Horns. And so we've been, you know, big Longhorn fans, big baseball fans. And I own tickets at the North End Zone. So
nice.
I go to the games.
Yeah, you got money, too. You got some money, too, don't you? Fish camp. You got fish camp. You got some family money.
I treat myself. I treat myself.
Okay.
I treat myself.
Going
That's
to Germany, fish camp money, season ticket money. You're the right girl. I'll tell you that.
Hey, listen.
Your friend should be happy.
Hey, Lisa, we appreciate it. And we're so happy you play each and every time. And hopefully you keep doing it. And we'll get you to your prize pack put together. And we'll plan that fishing trip that Bucky is going to attend. Okay?
Thank you, Lisa.
Yes. You are going to attend, Bucky. You will have the best time, I promise you. We'll have a good time, and we'll talk sports the
all
whole
right.
time.
You got it.
Yeah, and hopefully I can convince y'all to come on and be a guest VJ for the day.
Yes, we'll do it.
You know, so, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and I really look forward to it.
Thank you so much, too.
Thank you, Lisa. There it is, our first ever female winner. And, yeah, she it sounds like she does well for herself. I mean, women have great careers.
I caught everything she said. She's got some cash. Jack, and she said, my friend. She didn't want to mention her friend's name, but that dude's got to go. She's rolling in it. She got her own fish camp. She just came back from Germany.
Well, sound like her family
her
has
and the
a
girls.
Fish camp, what I heard. Her family has
oh,
a fish camp.
Oh, no. BK, you need to check this. This is okay now. This is how you hook up right here. Fish camp,
you take
Germany.
Straight to hook
trying
up.
To set you up?
No, yourself.
Me?
Yes.
She looks to be, I'm not going to guess her age, but she's older than, well, you know, to each his own. She
looks
to be
matter,
in her mid-30s, I guess, I would guess.
I was doing a little millennial work back here, some internet searching.
Here he goes.
Finding
there he
some
goes.
Stuff out.
Yeah, but we're on, so we'll be on for that. Wanted to bring her on, and yes, her brother played baseball, went to both national championship games, so she's in. She's going. That's a good pick, Brooks Koepka. And also congratulations to Michael McNutt and Nicholas. They also had Brooks in their picks, but she got it in first. She got it in first, and she's our winner.
People got to start doing that. Whoever's hotter.
Pronounce karaoke. 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 That's how it's pronounced. Not karaoke. It's karaoke. I just jumped all over everybody out there thinking they're going to the karaoke bar. That's why I'm European. I can help you all in all these different things like that.
I used to say those are the Asians who say it like that.
It says, didn't Lisa just prove Bucky's point by saying she's selected by looks? Well, no, I don't think she's backed away from it. She did her research, though, and then saw Brooks Koepka and said, man, he's cute.
I'm going to take it.
Yeah, there you go. Doesn't matter how you get there.
No.
It's that you get there.
You guys didn't win.
Yeah, all you.
Now we got to put up with
hundreds
this.
And hundreds of suckers who all took Jordan Spieth.
I know. Or, yeah, or Rosie, like I always do.
You took Justin Rose.
I took
man.
Rosie.
But, no, but I mean, obviously the two picks combined were the difference. I mean, Ricky Fowler and Brooks Koepka. I mean, one or the other, you're doing okay. But all both of them, that's crazy. Nice job. Good work right there. All right, there you go. That was fun. So we're going to have some fun with that. And we got a lot going on. We'll hit the hot or not. BK leads us through that. This guy says, Buck.
No.
Don't tell me if you met a woman named Mrs. Duck Sausage that you wouldn't adopt her name.
I may have to change my name for that. That only.
Bucky Duck Sausage?
Michael Duck Sausage. That poor kid. We just have made a sham of that.
Doxoxics. Doxoxics.
The Sockic.
He'll be playing today. Aggies play today against TC. We might see Mr.
Doxoxics
on the mound.
You still can't get it. It's
no,
Doxossi.
It's Doxossic.
I can't believe we just tear this poor name apart.
He's a young lefty for the Aggies, man.
Yes.
He'll be pitching Texas and TCU today. Or Texas A&M and TCU today. Elimination game in Omaha. We're back. B&E on the horn. BK leads us through hot or not.
What's hot and what's not?
Tell you what's hot. I heard the Buck over there is playing UT Golf Club today.
Yes.
Not bad.
I hope it's cool. It's
out there recently for the Positive Coaching Alliance event. What a great place. Say hi to all the folks out there. Steve Tremere still out there?
Steve's still out there doing well.
Yeah, say hi.
Place is looking fantastic, as usual.
Here's what's hot for BK is that today is Wednesday, which means... Well, today's Tuesday, I'm sorry. When do you review the Hoosiers film?
Thursday.
Thursday is movie reviews on the Midday Show.
We are talking to Angelo Pizzo, who wrote Hoosiers and also... My All-American.
All-American,
yeah.
I'm excited to talk to him on Thursday afternoon.
Oh, he's
Angelo
a great
Pizzo.
Interview.
Angelo,
he's a really, really
He's a really,
really
neat guy to talk to. We talked to him in the lead-up to My All-American coming out. He also did Rudy. Rudy.
Nice.
So, Hoosiers.
Don't expect to see any brothers in Hoosiers, okay?
Oh, yeah, there are.
There are?
It's a true story.
They got a brother team?
Well, the other team.
The other team. It's not Hoosiers.
The other team at the end. Have you seen it yet, BK?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, man.
Maybe tonight or tomorrow
night. No spoiler alert.
Mm-mm, no spoilers.
It's all time. Jack Dale is one of the all-time characters in the history of film.
He is?
Or Normandale. Normandale. That's the coach.
Yes.
Great movie, which you haven't seen.
Sorry.
It's ridiculous. What do you got, BK?
Come watch it, Buck, if you want.
Oh, man. Yeah, one of his four TVs. Why don't you go out and have a little slumber party?
Can I bring the box of popcorn?
Yeah, man. No duck sauce.
Okay.
All right, guys. Today is National Ice Cream Soda Day.
Mm.
And it's also National Vanilla Milkshake Day. So if you had your choice of those two, like a root beer float or some sort of ice cream soda or vanilla milkshake, what are you taking?
That's a good one, BK. I would take the vanilla milkshake anytime because I can always add a banana in there to make that a banana milkshake. I'm not an ice cream soda guy. Back in the day, that was the big deal growing up in the 70s.
The A&W soda.
Yeah, I used
that root beer.
And ice and the counters. Used to go to a counter to have an ice cream float. No, I don't like soda in my ice cream, A&W, or not, any of that stuff. No thanks.
I'm with you
milkshake.
On that. Milkshake. It's like I love a really good root beer. You know, so I mean, that's big time. But I love ice cream, but I don't like them together. I'm not big on that, but I would take the vanilla milkshake in a second.
The best root beer for me is that A&W root beer. I used to drink that in Massachusetts.
Out of the bottle?
Oh, out of the bottle, yes.
Root beer's good. On a cold day, a really cold root beer, I'm in. But also, that vanilla shake, you can't beat that.
Yeah, if you can do a lot of things
with
to a vanilla shake.
With a cherry on top?
A little cherry, yes.
Done.
Got to hit one of those A&W Long John Silver combos. Get you a root
Long
beer
John
and some
Silver?
Fried fish.
People don't go there to eat anymore. What is wrong with you? Dude, let me...
They still have them. That means people still go.
They don't really go to them. It's just there. It's just like a landmark for something. People don't eat fish from Long John Silver, do they?
That's where I draw the line, fast food-wise. I don't
You don't go to
there.
Long John?
No.
I heard they got good hush puppies because I love good hush puppies. Ooh,
I've heard that too. I don't think I've ever been inside a Long John Silver's.
All right, guys. Baseball, college baseball today, A&M and TCU. You mentioned it earlier. The Horned Frogs have knocked out the Aggies the last two NCAA postseasons at the super regional level. They play an elimination game today. Can our man Jake Duck Sausage in Texas A&M try to fight off some demons and stay alive, or does TCU win again?
It's John Doxakis.
Doc Sauce?
Just wrecked it again.
Doxakis.
He can't
Doxakis.
Get it on the first shot.
It's Doxakis. I got to say, I got to get your tongue warmed up. You know what? I'm gonna take TCU in this spot.
I'll take TCU also to
no
end
mullet.
This thing.
No mullet for Chad Hastings, huh?
No.
And I don't think it matters, really. Watching that Oregon State team again last night, jeez, they just mowed through LSU. I mean, they are hyper-aggressive with the bats and on the bases, and they're so
good.
Are they
home run hitters? Are they a bunch of... Punching Judy's.
They did hit a grand slam last night, but they're mostly punching Judy's. I mean, they're slashers. Slashers with speed.
And they steal bases and just keep on going, don't they?
They got the pressure up
slappies.
From the jump. Slashers, I wouldn't call them slappies.
Slashers?
I mean, they hit the ball hard, but they hit them in the gaps and they slash them down the line. I like that Oregon State team, obviously. What's not like they've lost four times and it's June the 20th. But I'm going to take TCU in this spot.
Horned okay.
Frogs. Poor Aggies.
Poor Aggies. All right, guys, here's a list from Athlon Sports, who, of course, releases their college football magazine every year, and they're big in the sports game, big in college football. They released their top 50 college football players of the past 50 years.
Ooh.
You want to take any cracks on who number one might be?
Top 50, last 50 years. It's going back into the 60s there.
Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson is number five on the list.
Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker, number one.
Number one.
Nice.
Herschel Walker, number one. Barry Sanders, number two.
with Thurman Thomas. They used to return kicks together.
Oh, my
Stillwater.
God.
Yeah. How about kicking off to Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas?
Good night. The only two-time Heisman winner, Archie Griffin, number three.
Arch. I have a son named Griffin.
He didn't get enough credit. Archie Griffin never got enough credit for winning two Heisman trophies.
That was your era of watching.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a son named Griffin. Let's not go there.
There you go. And then number four, the Tyler Rose, Earl Campbell. Cracks the top five.
I'm down with that.
I bet Vince Young's in the top 10 or 15.
Yeah, here's the rounding out the top 10. Bo Jackson, number five. The great Tim Tebow, minor league baseball sensation.
Yes.
Hugh Green, number seven.
Ooh, Hugh Green, Pittsburgh. Boy, you're talking about a defensive end.
And there's VY coming in at number eight. Primetime, Deion Sanders, number nine. And the great Tony Dorsett rounding out the top 10.
I've never seen anything like that guy when he was running, except for Ricky Williams.
50 years. I'm going to have to stew on that a little bit.
Tony Dorsett and Earl Campbell were there in the days of the tearaway jerseys. You're talking about trying to grab a hold of somebody, and that stuff would just tear apart. Dorsett was the best.
Yeah, Dorsett won the Heisman the year before Earl did, and that was the string of running backs through that era. Running backs running every year for like 10 years in a row. Where is big Orlando Pace on that deal? Orlando Pace is one of the greatest college football players I've ever seen, period.
Big O, yes.
Guy was a mauler. So we'll get that coming back. We'll run through some of those. Your thoughts on that? Is it Herschel Walker, Georgia? Damn.
I know.
Vince Dooley.
Orlando Pace, guys, number 16.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Right behind Ndamukong Suh at 15 and Reggie Bush, number 14.
Where's Tommy Frazier?
I mean, Tommy Frazier's number 12.
Okay, I figured he'd be in that top 15. That guy was awesome at Nebraska through their run. All right, we'll pick that up. That's always good college football talk. 74 days to the start of the college football season. We'll reset your headlines coming up, including the Cavaliers. Curious decision yesterday on the eve of the NBA's draft, and they might have made LeBron James a little bummed out. It's B&E on the horn.